Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
I'm still in Before the Foundation, but I'm going through the different parables, and I'm going to have to divide this up. So I am starting to divide it up. The first one that we went through was the parable of the sower in our series. It's been a great series, and I know there is more we can learn from those passages of Scripture. But it seemed good to me to leave that vein of gold, not vein like V-A-I-N, vein like V-E-I-N, for now and move into another. How many know this? You can dig into a truth in the Word and you can go for eternity. Okay? And so what I'm attempting to do is be led in everything I teach, because we can take so much. How many know you can only feed on food for so long at a sitting? And then you have to go digest that, pull the nutrients out of it, and go back. Amen? So what will happen is, if you're a good listener, and you're a good studier, and you're a good applier, the truths that you received all along the way in the teachings will come out at the right time when the Holy Spirit needs them. You realize that you're designed as a deposit box. Did you know that? God is depositing His truth in your mind. He's flowing out from within you by the resurrection of Christ that is within you. And the more understanding that you have about the Lord and about His things and His truths, the more the Holy Spirit has to draw on. When you feed on the Word, He has something to draw on. I was telling Mark this morning, before we started the service, I was telling him about how I'm in reading through the Old Testament and reading this chronological ordered Bible reading that I'm doing through the year. I am seeing things. The Holy Spirit is showing things to me that I had never seen before. Why? Because He has some substance to work with inside of me. Does that make sense? Those words are spiritual food. They are meat, they are milk, and they are bread. His words are alive. They give life to me. Whenever I read the Word, I'm not just sitting there gaining. I thankful to the Lord that I'm not this way. I do not read the Word from just a purely intellectual standpoint. If you've been well trained by the world, you're just mental. But if you've been well trained by the Lord and you have relationship with Him, you're spiritual first, and then soul, and then flesh. In fact, the Holy Spirit said this to me this morning. I was praying, and He said, "Sean, to be led by your feelings is the lowest, one of the lowest levels of leading." It's just, I'll just put it to you like this. Any unsaved person can do that. Good word, right? To be led by emotion is the lowest level. And He was helping me with some things. But the Lord deposits in us. It helps us gain understanding. When we read through the Scriptures and we allow the Holy Spirit as the teacher to teach us, and the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible, then it gives us context to things, and we begin to understand things that we didn't understand before. And this is one of the things that I love about the parables. We see in Matthew chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus said this: "All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable He did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world." And so before the foundation, that's where we got the title for that. And we've talked about this. The truths that are in Scripture in the parables are truths that were around before you were around, before anything was around. You know, our culture is obsessed right now with going back into history and trying to correct all the wrongs of the past by punishing the people that weren't there. Boy, how dumb can you get and still breathe? I mean, seriously, you're telling me you want to hold somebody today accountable for something they weren't even a blip on the map when it happened? Where does that end? Let's start going back through the history of the people that want to enforce this law and start enforcing it on them. It doesn't make sense. It's a victim mentality, and you got to watch it. Amen? You got to watch it. God didn't create no victim in you. You're not a victim. You have circumstances. You're like everybody else on the planet. You got stuff in your past and in generations that were before you that is stealing, killing, and destroying. But that's not who you are. I'm thankful that I'm not being held accountable for the history that I found out about the McFarland clan in Scotland, where we had a beef with another clan. And when they got together and had a family meeting in their big building, we locked the doors and burned it down. Praise the Lord. Aren't you all thankful I'm redeemed? I wasn't there. I didn't murder the people. I just have the same name. But I wasn't there. Do you see what I'm saying? But this truth, these truths that the Lord is giving us aren't truths that are designed to bring captive and punishment to us. Rather, they're designed to bring freedom. But the enemy will try and twist that in your mind. The Bible in basic English says this: I will give knowledge of things kept secret from before all time. The Living Bible says, I will explain mysteries hidden since the beginning of time. The Message says this: I will bring out into the open things hidden since the world's first day. See, the Lord Jesus Christ is phenomenal, and it bends the mind. We talked about this. But Jesus manifested in time, but he was before time. Before creation ever existed, Jesus was there. Jesus was in the process of creation because he is a creator. He just jumped into what we call time at the right time, established before the world was ever put into a spin. And when he did that, he revealed something. What did he reveal? He revealed the Father God. So everything you read prior to Jesus in the Old Testament needs to run through the filter of the Messiah. Ooh, that was a good word. It needs to run through the filter of the Messiah first to get true understanding. So let's do this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25, and we'll begin today on the parable of the sower. No, the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents, Matthew chapter 25, verse number 14. Now, I've read this, and I've had my own thoughts on it, but I really believe the Lord's given me understanding in this that will help you and me as we go through this. And I want to read through it, and then we'll go back through and break it down a little bit. The whole purpose of this particular portion of these messages on the parable of the talents is to establish a foundation that we can work from as you see more and more of what the Lord wants to reveal. So Matthew chapter 25, verse number 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like." This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Okay? You don't have to complicate that. It's that simple. It's like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went out and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord, of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse number 24. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, let's go back to verse number 14 and let's begin. So we just set some context here to what's going on. This is the parable of the talents that we're talking about. And I want to start in verse 14 and just begin to share to you what I feel like the Lord had shown to me. Now, I'm not going to take the traditional view on this, okay? Parables are designed to bring out spiritual truths, but it doesn't mean that it's a hard, fast thing. You understand what I'm saying? And so what you're going to see is you're going to see similarities here, even between the parable of the sower and the parable of the talent. You'll see it. And I want to begin here because I want to look at this. And this, some of this will really begin, well, I know it will, as the Lord opens your eyes, as you hear, you really begin to gain understanding and bring it will bring even more context to the whole scripture. You'll see how they tie together. I really believe this. Verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his what? Goods to them. His goods to them. Who do you think it is that traveled from the far country? The Lord, right? He traveled from the far country, and where did he come? To us, right? To earth. And he delivered his goods, not his bads. He delivered his what? His goods, right? Goods, by definition, is the possessions or substance of the man traveling. It's the possessions or substance. For the Lord, he is... God delivered his substance to you. Now watch this. The parallel I'd like to make with this is that this is what God did both in creation and in sending Jesus Christ. He came and, what is a common word that is used to describe the creation in Genesis 1 through 3? And he saw it and it was, I don't think we know how good he is. God delivered his substance, and his substance is good. It's good, not only in the spirit, but also in the natural. Both. And he didn't deliver bads. He delivered goods. I know it's not good English, but it's designed to make you think. He didn't deliver bads. He delivered goods. Who's the deliverer of bads? The enemy. God is not your problem. He's your goods. His substance is freedom. His substance is healing. His substance is perfection. His substance is divine order. The enemy's substance is disruption of divine order. And people say, well, why did God let the devil do that? He didn't. We did. Come on. You know, we did the parable of the sower. And the Holy Spirit spoke this to me when I first started this out on this particular one and this teaching. He said to me, he said, Sean, I'm no more going to rule over your garden than I ruled over Adam's. Come on. Come on. We didn't trip, did we? Who had authority over the garden after it was created? Adam and Eve had it. He told Adam, you subdue it. And the Lord said that to me. He said, I'm no more going to rule over your garden than I did over Adam's. I thought, woohoo, that means I got authority and I better rule my garden. So when you see the snake come in, yeah, come on. You know, years ago, I was building a house. And my brother, Toby, and I went out to the house. And we were moving some stuff around because he owned an excavation company at the time. There was some plywood around. The grass hadn't been, no vegetation had been planted because everything had been done. The house was finished, but there was a piece of plywood. And we're walking around moving stuff and getting stuff. And here's a piece of plywood sitting there. And we walked up to it and we heard a rattle. Well, I was raised out on the West End. We killed rattlesnakes with rocks as kids. We knew what it was. It was a rattlesnake. And so we go over to it, and you know, have you ever been around a snake and it's just like, you know, you get that feeling? Yeah. Well, we're McFarlane's, so we carry pistols. I should say we're Montanans, so we carry guns. Toby has a .45 in his truck. I'm outside the city limits, okay, where I built my house. And so we go over there, we get a shovel, we flip the board up. Here's this big rattlesnake. And he had just eaten, or she, whatever, had just eaten. You know how you can see the lump in the, you know, I don't know what it had eaten, a mouse or whatever. And here me and my brother are standing there, and my brother's unloading a .45 on this thing. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, a .45 is overkill by a mile. I mean, we could have killed it with the shovel. When you hear and see the snake in your garden, just go ahead and overkill. Just go ahead and lock and unload. You should already be loaded. You want to unload. Why? Because he's coming to mess with the goods. God deposited, delivered his goodness into all of his creation. We know in Genesis over and over again, God called what he created good and what? Very good. The creation preaches God. God has delivered or put or deposited. That word delivered, where it says he delivered his good, is deposited. He deposited his good into us both naturally and spiritually. So what do we know in this first part? We know that what? That the parable of the talents, there was a man who came. There was a man who came. Christ Jesus. And he deposited his what? His goods into you. He delivered his goods to you. He presented them or delivered them over to you. Praise the Lord. Verse 15, and he gave to one 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability, and immediately he went on a journey. I like that. In other words, God said, do something with this. Go. See ya. I'm leaving. I like that. Because it'd be one thing if God just left and didn't give you what you needed. But he deposited first. Talents, by definition, is a sum of money or currency. Because it has to do with something weighed, now this is a Greek definition here, talents have to do with something weighed, in other words, you weigh it out, it has weight to it. It has been given the meaning of a gift or ability. This is straight out of Vine's Expository Dictionary. So the talent could be money. But since money is something weighed, it has value to it, this word talent can mean gift or ability as well, okay? So God came and he delivered goods, and what were the goods? They were ability or talent. They were something of substance. Inside of every person sitting in this room, God has deposited value. He has deposited ability. And that ability is not some, it's not just some, oh, I came up with this ability. It is a part of God. Now listen to me. Naturally and spiritually. Now, we're going to get into this more and more, and you'll begin to see how it opens up. But we need to set this foundation first. So he's given you ability. The visual thesaurus states this. A person, talking about talents, a person who possesses unusual or innate ability in the same in some field or activity. It is a person who possesses unusual or innate ability in some field or activity. The world says that evolution produced this. God says, I deposited it in you. You have ability, you have talent. Boy, if you could hear what Mike taught on leadership this morning, oh my goodness, it's amazing how these tie together. Now watch this. This gets even gooder. So you got the definition of talents, right? How many have ever wondered about that word ability? People do this. They'll read that. I've done this. I've read that scripture and gone, yeah, ability. Yeah, what's my ability? What do I? And you start to search your own self. Do you know it's always a bad idea to start there first? You should start with God first. Ability. What is ability? Do you know what word it is in the Greek? Dunamis. It's dunamis. It's dynamite. Now watch this. I'm going to change one word here, and this whole thing's going to open up for you, okay? Just by this definition. You're going to love this. The Lord showed me this. I have a hard time sitting in my seat when I study this stuff. This word is dunamis, which means strength. Watch this. Power and miraculous power. Inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. So watch this. And to one he gave 5 abilities, and to another 2 abilities, and to another 1 ability, to each according to his own strength. You are talented according to your strengths. So once you understand your abilities, you'll won't be frustrated in your strengths. Once you understand your strengths, you won't be frustrated in your abilities. Now listen to me. There are general abilities that everybody has in creation and in being born again. And then there are specific ones. How many have ever remember as a kid, or you have kids and you bought them the toy with that's a ball that has all the shapes cut out of it, and then they have the little pieces that go in the shapes? Do you know why the circle goes in the circle shape? Because it's the correct ability and the correct talent coming together. See, you've been deposited heaven. And when you begin to understand your abilities as you fellowship with the depositor, the strengths that are there will come forth as well. When you begin to understand the depositor and you understand the ability, and then you understand the strength in the depositor that has been deposited in you, you can begin to cooperate with the ability and the strength from your creator and begin to function in a place where, as we read later on, the Lord said, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy." Well, I just don't have any joy. Huh. Maybe you're trying to put a star through a circle hole. Do you see that? You have to understand who you are. You have to accept that according to the Creator. Not according to, you know, we live in the culture today. This is the world that we live in. How many know a while back? And I have to speak politically, and I have to speak to these cultural things because it's my job as a minister. But how many remember a while back when Facebook was going to try and put all the genders available on Facebook for people to choose? It was like 56 or something like that, or 55 or something like that. Do you remember that? So you know what they ended up doing, right? They botched it all. You want to know why? Because they got so many emails, "Where's mine? I don't identify as these 56. How many do you need? That's my question. I don't identify as all these other ones. So where's mine? See, what's the problem? The problem is, you know, and the religious will do this. Those people are going to hell. They're sinners. They don't know their depositor. They don't understand how they've been talented or their strength because they don't know their creator, because they've been taught that they came from a blob. They've been taught what the world, the smart scientific community came up with, and this is my definition, from the goo to the zoo to you. Oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. Thank you for enlightening us. Do you know why you can study evolution and feel like you didn't learn anything? Because it was birthed in darkness. There's no light there. There's no light there. Do you know that God's not in heaven going, the people don't know their identity? He's not panicking. He's saying, I am here and available. Come know me and come show me. Now, let me say it like this. Come know me and then go show me. I don't have confusion because I know the one greater today than I ever have, who deposited his goods in me. His ability, his strength. God has talented every person on the planet according to their strengths. God gave us strength to do, to act in faith. God leaving is not a disappointment because he gave us substantial investment. God leaving gives us opportunity to use what he has deposited in us. It would just be a shame if you had all that money and nothing to do with it. You are here. You are breathing. You're on the planet. You have opportunity. You have opportunity to develop. You have opportunity to use your strengths. You have opportunity to function out of what God has deposited in you. You have opportunity to go, God gave me 5. I've got a vision for 10. I love this. I don't know how you could be depressed and know God. It's literally impossible. Even if, listen to me, even if you're not a 5, you're a 2. There's a joy to enter into if you function in the 2. Even if it's a 1. And everybody, by bare minimum, is a 1. You have potential beyond what this world can think of. It can only be discovered, only be revealed, only be seen and walked out of as you understand your creator. And he will show you things, and your natural mind and people around you will go, no, 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 no. You're a 1 talent. You're a 1 talent. You don't know. You don't see it yet. I'm a 2. I'm a 2. The Lord showed me I'm a 2. Yeah, but you're at the end of your life. You know, you got these things going wrong and these things going wrong. No, 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 no. He's showing me the abilities, the talents, the deposits that have been placed within me and the strength that I have to go ahead and move out forward. Come on. Think about this. What stopped, and we'll get into this next week, what stopped the 1 talent guy from depositing and investing and multiplying? Fear. Well, what if they reject me and I go to start a church and they don't accept me as a pastor? What if they reject me? It was worth it. Why? Because I wasn't motivated by what people thought. I was motivated by my creator. Besides that, if I really heard from the Lord and I understand the talent and the ability, it doesn't matter how many people reject, there will be people that accept. Isn't it good? Okay, 2 more verses and then we stop. See, we've only gone through 2 verses. And I've been preaching like 30 minutes already. There's a lot in the word, amen? Verse 16 says, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more. The word went, you know, you think you know what it means. It means to depart. It means to go away, go forth, or go one's way. It means to make or take a journey, to walk, to set out, to lead or order one's life. I recognize that the depositor has come and has deposited something in me. I now understand the talent and the ability and the strength. Now what do I need to do? I need to order my life according to what I've been talented with and what has been put as strength in me. According to my talents and strengths, I now will go and walk an ordered life according to the resurrection within me. Come on. And what does that do? You take that and then you trade. So we have two people in these verses who looked at what they were given in talents, learned of their talents, and then went out and invested their talents. We also have two people who recognized the value of the gift because of who it was given by. Reverence for God produces motivated faith. Reverence for God produces motivated faith. In other words, when you see the talent, you understand the talent, light comes, you understand the strength, then out of reverence for the Lord, you will become a went. You will become a went. What do you mean? I will order my life this way because I've been talented this way. So now I'm going to go. I'm going to go. What am I going to do? I'm going to go and I'm going to trade. Trade. I'm a trader. I trade. What does trade mean? It means to toil. I honestly sometimes wonder. I mean, I understand why they used the word traded in context of what was, defining the word. It means to toil as a task or occupation. Listen to this. By implication, it means to toil or have an effect. It means to be engaged in or with, to commit, to do, to labor for. Listen to this, to minister about. It means to minister about, to make gains by trading. Or I would say this, to make gains by ministering. You say, ministering? I'm not a minister. Every person in this place that is born again is a minister. Every one of you. Well, I don't stand up there where you do, and I don't do this and that. That's your problem. You think ministry is just a preacher. Ministry is serving, helping, doing, being. Ministry is exactly what Jesus did on the earth when he was here. He went about doing good. Huh. Where did we see that word good? You need to go about and do trade in it. Trade in it. Invest. People say, I'm working on my investments. I got to retire. No, no, no. I'm not talking about that. You can do that, but that's not your primary investment. Your primary investment is the kingdom. And as you invest out of who is in you, there comes a multiplication. Come on. You know, if people say, well, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for a long time. I really don't do anything, though. You know, for the Lord, it's kind of, you know, I like some different preachers, but I don't really invest into anything. I mean, that takes my time. And I got other things that I'm working on and doing. And I don't have time for that because I got to do this. Then the investment that God placed in you spiritually will be taken away from you and given to the one with abundance. I don't like that word. We'll end with this one because it made such a good impact. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 29. For to everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be what? Well, I don't like that word. I know, that's the most anti-socialist scripture you've ever read in your life. That is the most anti-communist scripture you've ever read in your life. Because according to them, and according to that way of thinking, you have 12 fish. I'm taking your 5 of your fish and giving it to this guy who won't do a thing. Instead, God does it this way. This person has 12 fish because they've invested in what he's talented them in. Now you go ahead and deposit, invest into this person. Help them see what I've placed in them, and they'll have 5 fish soon enough. Okay. I got to give you another scripture, huh? We better end here, boy, I tell you. Would you like me to quote a New Testament to you? A New Testamenter, a New Testament passage. He who does not work. You Christians better be nicer and make sure you just give everything that you have to somebody else. Strange, Paul didn't see it that way. You say, where's the answer? The answer's in the Word. He who does not work, what? Well, that's really mean. See, that's the problem. Even though we've been warned for generations, the church is still psychology to death. They've been religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. And the warnings keep coming, and the truth, the prophets keep speaking, and truths keep coming, and people continually fall into the flow of, you know, any old dead fish can float downstream. Takes a live one to go up. Well, I'll just ignore what the preacher's saying and just, you know, play on my phone or do what I want to do. And then when something goes wrong, I'll hope the preacher will come pray for me and everything will be fixed. Nope. And people say, well, God has mercy. He does have mercy. He absolutely has mercy. But he does not separate the doing from the manifestation, the obedience from the manifestation of the word. Anytime you hear truths that you've heard before and you sit and go, I know that, you don't know it. When I was a youth pastor, I had this issue because, you know, you could preach for like a few minutes and then you'd lose them. Some of them actually were better than others, but depending on the group that was there, if you didn't pull a rabbit out of a hat or, you know, have a firework go off or burn something or have somebody eat something really fast and then throw up, you'd lose the crowd. But I'd tell them this because I'd say the same things over and over and over again. And this is true for me as much as it is for anybody. I don't know you know the truth until you're doing it. God doesn't know you know the truth until you're doing it. If a truth comes forth and it is not applied to your life, then you don't know it yet. Well, but I need to get free, and people will get in a panic. But I got to get this situation changed. How did any musician get really good at their instrument? By going, I want to get this done. I want to get this done. I just got to hurry up and learn this. It's the same principle in truth and in Scripture. You sit there. You study. You look. You fellowship. You do what he tells you to do. And you grow when you do that. Amen? Well, I really want to know about this other subject. We talked about this before, but Paul said it. I want to tell you about the other subject, but you still need more milk. Is that love? Or is love what the culture says today? Oh, you're right. I don't want you to feel bad. Let's just go look at the other subject anyway. Oh, you don't understand the makeup of, you know, water and basic elements of the earth. Let's go play with radiation. Come on. I don't want you to feel bad. How many know that sometimes you need to feel bad? You need to have a truth come that just offends the snot out of your flesh. Literally, snot could come flying out. You just, Lord, that hit me hard. And the Lord says, I love you. Here's a Kleenex. Amen? Would you stand? It's a good thing we can laugh. I know some of it's tough, but you know what? I want to go somewhere. How about you? I don't want anybody in here. I don't want myself. I don't want to bury our talents. I don't want to stand before the Lord and go, here it is. The Lord I think the Lord would be more pleased with somebody investing it and not doing what they were supposed to, but making it, like Peter, at least step out onto the water. That's more than the rest of the disciples can say. Right? It's true. Father, we just love you. We thank you. We praise you. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for your truth. Thank you that we have your truth. Thank you, Lord, that your truth is functioning and operating in our lives. Lord, you're so good to us and you're so faithful. Lord, we purpose not only to be open and, of course, to be open to know what our talents are, but then to function in them as you've given us strength and ability, dunamis. We thank you for these words. We guard them. We protect them. Lord, we take them into us and we'll meditate on them in Jesus' name. If there's anybody here this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed, and you need prayer for anything, whether it be salvation, whether it be rededication to the Lord, maybe you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit and you would like to be, or if you need prayer for healing or anything, don't be afraid to come forward right after service here because we will pray for you. We will minister to you. And Father, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your truth. We bless your holy name in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.